Thank you, dear friends, for inviting me back to this pulpit for the umpteenth time. I love being here. I have loved it for 100 years. So let's get with it right away. This is the huge theme I want to explore with you today, no surprise, on the 4th of July weekend. How to be a Christian citizen. To this end, from the multiple riches of our lectionary readings today, I invite you to consider afresh some conventional sounding words from our second reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul's been dealing with a bunch of controversies that were tearing the Galatian church apart, and you can almost hear him sigh as he tries to pull it all together at the very end of his letter. This is what it's all about, dear friends. So, Paul says, with a tonality that might sound like your grandmother's when you went away to college for the first time, so let us not be weary in well-doing. That's the familiar part of the text today, but forget about your grandmother's good wishes. Paul has a much more commanding thought. This is the whole text. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap at harvest time, if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. A vignette. For my own vocational reasons, I've lately embarked on a personal mission to interview, thanks to Zoom, some Christians who are at the front lines of the church's mission today, dealing with global eco-justice issues. One of the people I recently interviewed was a young pastor in Nigeria, Habila Shehi. He is enrolled via Zoom in a certificate program in global environmental issues at our church's seminary in California. Only 3 years into his ministry, Pastor Shady is now dealing with enormous difficulties and challenges in Nigeria. There at his young church, he preaches twice on Sunday. Once he told me to 300 people who speak English, and second service to 300 people who speak in their native language. But the situation around his parish is dire. The whole region has been devastated by logging and then by severe erosion. Food sources are unreliable, and the struggle, sometimes violent, between Christians and Muslims has been unrelenting. In that situation, the Apostle Paul's injunction not to be weary in well-doing might be taken to be self-evident. I mean, support one another, heal the land, make peace with your neighbors. Huge things like that. The situation there's so bad and so clear, so it seems to me, that you can just get on with the Christian life day by day if the Spirit so moves you. But what do Paul's words mean for a comfortable community like this in the good old USA on the 4th of July weekend? I mean, half of New England is at the beach this weekend. How can we be Christian citizens when the challenges that you and I face don't seem to be nearly so immediate or pressing? Let me get at it this way. And here I have an observation that you might have learned at some point in Bible class, an observation that first-year theology students typically cherish. In New Testament Greek, there are two words for time, chronos and kairos. The first is clock time, chronos, chronology. What year did Columbus discover America? Or as Dick Gregory liked to say, in what year did those people on the shore start waving at those three ships? That's chronos time, 1492. Now, kairos time is something else. Kairos is when you go out to harvest your lettuce before it's gonna bolt. Kairos time is when your baby's about to be born. Kairos time is when you pass the word that there's gonna be a meeting tonight to figure out how to deal with the likes of Columbus and his friends. In Galatians today, Paul uses the word kairos as a matter of course. First, implicitly with reference to harvest time. It's harvest time, kairos. So let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap at harvest time. That's verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6. The harvest happens on kairos time. Then there's verse 10. So then, says the flat English translation we have before us today, so then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. The Greek here is actually kairos, meaning whenever the time is right, let's go for it, for the good of all, and so on. Kairos. Okay, some questions now. What kairos is God giving you at this point in your life? What kairos is God giving us as church right now? Maybe something about helping with the shelter. Maybe something related to the Supreme Court. Or say climate change, perhaps some GBIO initiative or LRC initiative, Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, Lutherans Restoring Creation, or perhaps something else. What kairos is God giving you right now? What kairos is God giving us right now? These are the kinds of questions I propose that you and I will want to keep asking when we keep thinking about not being weary in well-doing. Where's the kairos moment? Is this the right time? Many years ago, I was given the kairos to be part of a biracial American church delegation whose assignment was to visit Black Lutheran congregations in South Africa and Namibia. It was at the height of the apartheid crisis. It was a harrowing experience for all of us Americans, especially when we visited the huge Black township, Soweto. Armed trucks of soldiers were driving around everywhere. We were told never take a photo. I had one afternoon off in Soweto and I decided to hail a cab and go out to the headquarters of the South African Council of Churches to check the place out and maybe to meet people. To my surprise, when I arrived, a large and chaotic meeting was just about to begin. People, almost all of them Black, were milling around all over the place. There was some stirring in the air. I sat in the back in one of the few seats that were still available. Up front was a panel of Black clergy led by a Lutheran pastor, Simon Ferrisani. Amazing. Turns out I had stumbled into a controversial meeting of global significance. when the South African Council of Churches was releasing what it called its Kairos document. Among other things, that document said, the time has come for all Christians in South Africa openly to resist the minority white government. It was a Kairos moment that I'll never forget. Has the time arrived? Has the Kairos arrived for you and for me to sign on to a new Kairos document? Has the Kairos come for you and for me to stand up and resist neo-fascist trends in our own society? To get out into the streets, perchance, as that conservative jurist told the January 6th committee a while back in words like these, I'm ready to lie down and put my body in front of the traffic. Some think that that Kairos has arrived. Others think that we may be close to such a Kairos moment. What do you think? Well, you're thinking about that, that kind of dramatic Kairos moment, keep in mind that the Kairos that the Spirit's offering to you at this time of your life might also be mundane, as the world counts such things. And some years ago, I joined a few UniLu members in a slow march down Mass Ave to the Boston Common to demand climate justice. No big deal in a certain sense, but for me, it was a Kairos moment. You can fill in the blanks in your own life. Lord knows, maybe when you took what you thought at the time was that modest step for justice, you were in fact and in faith responding to a Kairos moment that God was giving you. Even writing a letter or signing a petition or cutting a check. Keep up the good work, dear friends. Keep searching out the signs of these times for such Kairos moments. Finally now, I know, beware of preachers who say finally. But hear me out. How can you do it? How can I do it? How could Pastor Habib Shady do it and Pastor Simon Farisani? How could anyone find the spiritual wherewithal to be a Christian citizen in such crazy times? Maybe dangerous times, even for us. How can we do it? This is my answer. You don't have to go it alone. I don't have to go it alone. All we need to do is let ourselves get carried away in the Spirit by the good news of Jesus again and again. Consider another text now at the end from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, about this liberator, capital L, this divine human liberator sent from God at just the right time, the Kairos of every other Kairos. This is my translation of Mark's words. Jesus came to Galilee saying, the Kairos is fulfilled and the reign of God has come near. Turn around and believe in the good news. In a word, God gives you this gift. God gives me this gift. This cosmic liberator, Jesus, called the Christ. All you and I have to do is to claim this gift as our own, and then we'll find ourselves empowered by the Spirit to respond to every other Kairos moment that God gives us. That's the biblical promise, I believe. The Kairos is fulfilled, and the reign of God has come near. Turn around and believe in the good news. So you've done the right thing today. You've turned around from your ordinary experience. You've taken your stand with the Jesus people for this Sunday's Kairos, either in person or by zooming in. This is the first step of Christian citizenship, I believe. You get with the Kairos, this fulfilled time, this mission of Jesus. Then in the spirit of Jesus, you will be ready to respond to any other Kairos that God may give you along the way, horrendous or mundane or in between. Any day can be your Kairos time, or mine. Any day can be a gift of Kairos. Just don't give up. Keep looking for that Kairos and keep welcoming the support that this household of faith can offer you as you look. One last time, then, hear the apostle in a translation now revised for your sake and mine in this our time of crisis. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever God gives us a Kairos, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. That, I believe, is how to be a Christian citizen. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day.